I have prepared marks I'd like to submit to you, and I'll just go ahead and read them. I'm Victoria Stodden, assistant professor at Columbia University in the Department of Statistics. So thank you for the opportunity to address this committee. You are uniquely positioned to contend with the barriers to innovation that arise through the impact of copyright law on scientific integrity. In my remarks, I hope to convince you of the urgent need for the committee to redress these barriers directly by recommending open licensing for scientific works, in particular for code and data. Copyright law works counter to scientific progress with enormous impact on innovation both inside and outside the scientific enterprise. It's widely recognized that scientific discovery is undergoing a deep and pervasive transformation. Over the past two decades, computation has become indispensable to scientific research and will eventually emerge as central to the scientific method. Our stock of scientific knowledge is now accumulating in digital form. For example, our DNA is encoded as genome sequence data, scans of brain activity exist in image data sets, and data on our climate is collected in myriad time series. Equally as importantly, our reasoning about these data are recorded in software, in the scripts and code that analyze our digitally recorded world. With the parallel development of the internet as a pervasive digital communication mechanism, an unprecedented opportunity for access to society's scientific understanding is at hand. In this digitized world, copyright law acts counter to scientific integrity and stands as a barrier to access and innovation. Let me explain. Scientific research has changed in a way that brings it in direct conflict with copyright law. In a modern scientific research experiment, data are typically gathered and stored electronically as a database on a computer, perhaps a laptop or a server. The data are typically scrutinized by the researchers for mistakes, outliers, labeling inconsistencies, and then corrections are made. After the data have been cleaned, prepared, statistical modeling decisions are made, and analysis is carried out. This entire process is geared to produce new scientific results. These are written up in a paper that typically follows the style established in the pre-digital era, with a very short method section, compressing all the digital manipulation undertaken in the course of the research into this traditional format is simply impossible, thereby rendering the scientific findings essentially non-reproducible from the paper alone. In a second example, now imagine a scientist developing an algorithm for the analysis of a novel type of data, perhaps generated by a new medical scanning device. The algorithm might permit a more confident identification of meaningful patterns in the scan, perhaps enabling disease recognition. In this case, the researcher likely implemented the idea in code and tested it on some of the new data from the medical device. A typical publication of this work might give the mathematics explaining the approach, a description of the algorithm, and the figures and results from testing the algorithm. Again, the publication itself simply cannot communicate sufficient detail to permit others to reproduce the published results. I cannot express strongly enough how typical these stories are of the scientific enterprise in the digital age, across disciplines ranging from astronomy to physics to the social sciences to bioinformatics. In response to the inadequacy of today's scientific publication mechanisms to facilitate the verification of these published computational results, there is a growing movement across the computational science community to restore scientific integrity by reestablishing reproducibility and transparency as a cornerstone of scientific research. In short, the full release of the code and data underlying the published findings, such that the results can be reproduced. Funding agencies are working to facilitate code and data release. The National Science Foundation now requires data release plans to be submitted with grant applications. A recent NSF task force on grant challenge communities and virtual organizations recommended reproducibility as a fundamental component of computational research. A roundtable gathered prominent computational scientists and other stakeholders at Yale Law School last November to address these issues of data and code sharing. Journals are beginning to incorporate the publication of code and data alongside their traditional paper publications, and domain-specific websites and repositories are cropping up to house scientific code and data. This poses copyright issues. Scientific code and some aspects of data are subject to copyright by default, and this is a core barrier to innovation as code and data increasingly appear online. The scientific community as a whole has a long-established ethos of sharing and traditionally rejects property rights in discoveries and contributions. The intent behind these norms is to further scientific progress in three ways: to encourage the full disclosure of the knowledge and to facilitate both the transfer of scientific innovation and the reproducibility of published findings, to encourage the reuse of scientific output, and to increase our public stock of scientific knowledge. Copyright as it applies today is a barrier to all these goals. Copyright vests authors with exclusive rights that prevent the copy and reuse of these scientific outputs. And it adheres to written articles, figures and tables, software and code, original selection and arrangement of the data, nearly all the output of modern scientific enterprise. The intellectual property frameworks scientists are subject to is at odds with their longstanding norms of openness, and this has become an acute problem in the digital era. As our stock of scientific knowledge is increasingly digital, copyright becomes a key issue regarding innovation in the digital sphere. Scientific knowledge is regarded as a public good, but scientific contributions cannot be freely applied, used, reused, or built upon as intended if they remain subject to copyright restrictions. Discoveries that could spur innovation in areas such as the commercial sphere or among non-scientists or even among scientists remain broadly inaccessible. Scientists tend not to develop their discoveries into commercial projects, and the open availability of scientific research output would further encourage this practice. Without shared code and data, scientific results are unverifiable, opaque, and the rate of innovation is slowed. To develop innovation and foster scientific progress, exceptions must be made to copyright to enable the free sharing of the code and data used in scientific publication, thereby aligning the legal framework with established normative and innovation-producing norms. Scientists should be able to make their scientific innovations freely and openly available online as a routine part of their work as a scientist, and as part of making their work reproducible and transparent. Scientists are not lawyers and cannot be expected to untangle the myriad open licensing options for their work. I encourage the committee to recommend open licensing for scientific works to conform with scientific norms and to facilitate the innovation intended to derive from scientific knowledge. Open licensing, by which I mean attaching terms of use to shared scientific code and data that free it for use with attribution as the only restriction or commits it to the public domain, is a simple solution to the barriers placed by copyright law on innovation. For example, attaching the Creative Commons attribution license to media, such as figures that result from running code on data, is one solution. I have developed a series of licensing recommendations for scientific output called the Reproducible Research Standard. It's important for scientists, journals, and funding agencies to be aware of and use these licensing options, perhaps as a default, and this committee has an opportunity to make a difference in both awareness and in practice guidelines. Such leadership is required to solve this crisis. As public policy becomes increasingly evidence-based, copyright acts as a barrier to understanding the reasoning behind scientific results, to the independent verification of the science, and to an open discussion of scientific issues. Without open sharing of code and data, it's difficult to resolve modern scientific debates. Recommending attribution-only licensing on scientific works would also be a step towards untangling the confusion regarding ownership at the university level. University ownership stakes vary accordingly to the nature of the research output, the traditions, the potential for profitability if commercialized. This committee is also positioned to encourage the open release of code and data grounded in the principle of reproducible research and further the enormous potential for future innovation. The committee could also recommend a broad fair use exception be made at the legislative level for all scientific works, including code and data. Because of the nature of scientific knowledge as a public good, this exception should apply to all uses, commercial and non-commercial. Scientific knowledge shouldn't be subject to the barriers induced by copyright. Thank you for your time and attention. I'd be happy to provide references to empirical publications or legal analysis and certainly take questions.
Mr. Temp?
Yes.
How much of the scientific work you're talking about, code and data, et cetera, actually makes its way into an application for a patent?
Oh, that's a great question. I think it's fairly small. So my PhD was done at Stanford, and in the computer science department there, that's probably one of the most pervasive areas where code would be patented. I did a survey of computational scientists asking them what barriers they had to sharing code and data, and it did come up that even very senior professors would say, I'm not sharing the code because I have a patent pending on it, or I'd like to patent it and start a company. So there might be some stars, but I think the amount that actually goes into patent is fairly small. I would guess less than 10%.
Oh. Is there research that you can point us to that demonstrates that the open sharing of code and data, in fact, has resulted in the sort of advancement of science and knowledge that you're suggesting?
So I don't have studies done yet on exactly this issue, but I can point you to some cases where it's very clear that scientific careers and citation have been accelerated because of the sharing of code and data, so I'd be happy to send those along to the committee.
One of the hard measures for us is, can we find data on things that weren't done? Almost by definition, that's
right.
A very hard question. What research didn't happen? And our job as research is not policy. I mean, we're trying to inform the debate, not have the debate. And to inform the debate, information on work that is inhibited, whatever, any quantification of that would help. I don't know, anything you can suggest us towards on that would be very helpful.
I will think about that. Like you said, that is a tough problem, a lot of dark matter there.
But that is the, I mean, otherwise it's a vague concept versus, I mean, diffuse future harm against, I mean, diffuse future good against concentrated present harm.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very hard debate to have
without
information.
So one question, just to ask whether you think this is an interesting way to make that judgment is, there is the opportunity for an opt-out approach through Creative Commons now, and presumably there's a way of measuring whether or not people have done that or how many people have done that, and then to watch the result of that through further use of that code and data versus perhaps the opposite, which is if there is a way of measuring stuff that has not been.
So like I said, scientists aren't lawyers, but they do. Some of them do use open licensing voluntarily on their work. There's some use of Creative Commons, or not so much for the code, and they tend to use GPL and so on for that. I know some of these projects where the work has been openly licensed, and then there are some scientists who just put it out there, and they just are oblivious to the copyright issues and put it out there and aren't aware that open licensing is something they should be doing. But I'd be happy to point you to those cases. I haven't gathered them in a formal study, but as cases, they're definitely there and could be valuable.
Victoria, it's Chris Sprigman. So I'm interested in something that grows out of a comment we heard before from some publishers. Do you have any information that can tell us whether open access publishing is going to be able to offer innovative ways of providing content to the public that would facilitate readership?
So like you, I heard the comments earlier today talking about from scientific societies and publishers talking about the amount of innovation they invest in delivering scientific knowledge. A lot of the innovation that I've seen in how papers in particular are transferred, we would always just de rigueur post our papers on our website. Again, I think we were somewhat oblivious to copyright issues. Some of them were technical reports unpublished, and some of them, I'm sure, were published. And this is the primary way that we would find out about new work and new publications, is just go to the author's webpage. So this becomes, so there's innovations in the sense of repository creation, like archive to distribute this in a more centralized way. But once you find the papers, generally we would lean on researchers' websites to find them. That's just not a scalable solution when it comes to code and data. So other things like repositories and other types of creation are needed to facilitate that kind of sharing.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your time. Thanks for coming down.